It is a beautiful day, amen. I am out of sorts without the screen. You wouldn't think a screen would make that much difference, but we had a video today and a lot of stuff planned, but we're doing it old school, and that's good sometimes, right? Not a big deal. It's really great to see our visitors here with us today. Of course, we got to meet Becky and Nikki and Josh last week, and Talia, of course, and Talia's sister Kendall's here with her today, so we're glad for that. And also we have Nick with us from Milton, a great guy. We got to meet him in class this morning, get to know him. Mr. McClung's back with us this week. And I know we have other visitors here as well. It's good to see Tim and Tracy here. Just really glad to see you guys here today. Wonderful day. God has blessed us so much this week. We all go through struggles. We all have difficulties in life. But we're here. We made it another week, and that's a blessing. You know, everybody is trying to make it in this world, aren't they? I mean, we try our best. Most people do their best. And some people, though, will go to any lengths to make it, to outsmart somebody or outdo someone. We see people sometimes on the job who will try to undercut people or make them look bad so that they look better in the boss's eyes. We see athletes who maybe take steroids and other drugs to give them an advantage over other people. Obviously, this stuff doesn't provide for long-term success, does it? The success that might be achieved through that can be short-lived. And we see it in our own lives when we've been dishonest. We see it in the lives of other people. When those things happen, eventually the house of cards does what? Comes tumbling down. So how do we, as people of God, make it in this world? How do we make it when things are difficult? How do we move forward in life when things in this world is hard, when people look down on us, and when people say things about us? We know today we're going to discuss some biblical principles that help us make it in this world regardless of where we find ourselves. We're all in different seasons of life, aren't we? Look around you. We're all in different seasons of life. Today is graduation Sunday. We have Olivia and Ashton who have just both completed a chapter in their lives, and they're going to be opening up a new chapter. Olivia, as I understand it, is going to do some volunteer work with some camps and then eventually study psychiatry. Ashton, of course, has completed her paralegal degree. She's going to go on with school. I personally think she ought to go to law school, but that's just my opinion, but I've told her that. But we're very proud of these young ladies, and they've done great things. They've accomplished a lot. They've overcome things to get to the point where they are, and they're starting a new chapter in life. We have people here younger than them who are in middle school and high school and even younger than that. We have people in their careers, people that have been working for a long time. We have people who've retired from their careers and are into a different phase of life. No matter where we find ourselves in this life, God's word is the same. No matter where we find ourselves, God's word doesn't change. He doesn't change, and his word is always valuable, and it will always give us the answers we need, regardless of what we're facing. One of the things that helps us overcome problems in this world and helps us make it in this world is when we face our fears. Even if we had a PowerPoint today, it would say, face your fears right now, because we're on the first point of the sermon. Fear paralyzes us, doesn't it? It's amazing. We talked about this in Bible class, and Brian talked about it in his communion devotion. He wasn't even with us in Bible class. God knows the things we need to hear. And we face fear, don't we? We get afraid. If we had been able to show a video, we would have shown the song Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. Y'all, has anybody heard that song? Wonderful song. If you don't know it, go home, YouTube it, listen to it. Fear lies to us. Fear paralyzes us. Fear tells us we can't. Fear tells us we won't. But worst of all, fear tells us that God won't. And even the strongest among us have fears. Even the people that have been Christians for 50 years have fears, just like new Christians do. Fear's human. Even strong football players fear. Ricky Williams, y'all know who he was? Ricky Williams played in the NFL. Pretty interesting guy, but anyway, YouTube him too. I'm just kidding. But Ricky Williams was drafted by the New Orleans Saints. And when he started playing, things didn't go so well. And it looked like he would be a total bust. Part of the problem for Ricky Williams, He suffered with a social anxiety disorder that made him uncomfortable in public. So that would be a problem for a guy playing to 80,000 fans every week, right? And so he wasn't playing up to his potential. He was able to get treatment for his problem. He was traded to the Dolphins. He went on to play over 10 years in the NFL off and on. We're going to have fear. Fear is part of being human. But as people of God, fear should never control us. Fear should never consume us. We don't have to live in a constant state of fear. And you know why? You know why we don't have to live in a constant state of fear as Christians? Because of what Darren just read for us in 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen? Amen. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, His power, love, and of sound mind. A university did a study. They had 10 people in a classroom, and the teacher asked the class to line up in the longest line. Now, 9 of the people in this study were told to choose the second longest line, even though they were told to go to the longest. And one person had no idea what was going on. So the 9 people would line up on the line that was second longest. And you know what the one person did? He went with them and lined up on the second longest line as well. Being wrong, not doing what he was told to do. 75% of the studies they did, this one person who also lined up with the 9 on the second longest line said they did it out of fear. Fear of being wrong. Fear of being apart from what the crowd was doing. Fear of not being accepted. We fear being wrong, don't we? We fear being rejected. We fear that other people might not like us sometimes. Some of us fear being goofy. Some of us don't fear that at all, right? Amen. But we all have different fears, and we fear many things. What's the opposite of fear? Let's look at God's word, and you would look at it too if it was on the screen. 1 John 4:18, the opposite of fear. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." So what is the opposite of fear? Our world tells us it's bravery, it's courage, it's strength. The Bible says the opposite of fear is love. Not just love, but perfect love. What's perfect love? Perfect love is Jesus Christ, church, who laid down his life for our sins. The love of Jesus Christ drives out fear. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. So when you belong to Jesus, when you're a Christian, the one you follow is the strongest opposition to fear there is. Perfect love. That's why we don't have to live in a state of fear as Christians. We have Jesus. How do we overcome fear? Well, you know, when Paul wrote the words in 2 Timothy that Darren read for us, not 1 Timothy, but 2 Timothy. We had a mix up there. That was my fault. But when he wrote these words, he was writing to a young preacher who was trying to do his very best. And I'm sure he was dealing with a lot of fears, right? Paul tells him, you don't have to be afraid. He tells us we have confidence to face our fears. Fears are going to be with us all of our lives. The point is, don't run from your fears, but face your fears. Don't face them alone, though. Face them with the power of God. Be willing to stand up for what is right, even though it's not always easy. And you'll see this a lot more when you get out into the real working world, right? Be willing to stand up for what's right, even though it comes with its own level of fear. Be willing to try something new. There are so many opportunities out there that I'm convinced we miss because we're afraid of new things. Be willing to be the person who makes the ethical decisions at work when another response is easier. Be the person in class who doesn't cheat but works hard. You serve a God who gave you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Use God's power to overcome your fears. Don't try to do it on your own. We can't. We're not designed for that. We are designed to have God's Spirit in us, helping us face our fears. So how do we make it in this world? Through God's power and facing our fears. You know, a second thing that holds us back from making it in this world, this would be point number two. We have to forget our failures. Has anybody ever failed at anything? I have. Two or three of us have. We do. We fail. We blow it. In this world, if we want to make it as people of God, we have to be willing to let the past be the past. Think about this. Your past only has life if you give it life. That's the only way it has life. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14 tells us, Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I wish I had a better understanding of failure. I wish we as a society had a better understanding of failure. When you hear the word failure, you immediately think negative, right? Somebody's blown it. They're a loser, right? That's what we think when we hear the word failure. Our society has ingrained that into us. And because of that, we hate failure. And we never want to fail. And we see people sometimes constantly dwelling on where they failed. And we all do it. I don't want to do that again because I tried it one time and I failed. Right? We see this in the church. I tried to teach Sunday school one time, but it didn't go well, so I'll never do that again. You know what we all have in common? We all fail at some point. Maybe many points. The question isn't if we're going to fail. The question is, what will we do with our failures? Do we let them crush us, or do we learn from them and move on? Failures are often not the end of the world. Oftentimes, when we fail, it can be the beginning of great things. Do you all agree with that? I mean, oftentimes when we fail, we learn from it, we seek God, and maybe even feel closer to Him because we're relying more on Him after we failed, and we see Him do great things throughout the situation. Thomas Edison failed some 2,200 times before he made the light bulb. I'm glad he did. Failures are often the beginning of great things. So what's this mean for our lives? You know, when you think about Philippians and you think about Paul being the one writing this, about pressing forward and forgetting what is behind him, think about his previous life before he came to know Jesus. He persecuted Christians, didn't he? He took part in their murders. And if there was someone who would have a very clear way and maybe even get a pass from us as to somebody who would dwell on their past, it would certainly be Paul, right? But he didn't let that control him. He didn't dwell on that. He learned from it. And he moved on and did great things. The words we read today were penned by him as he was inspired by God. Huge things. But that would have never happened if he'd let his past control his future. Preacher tells the following story. He says, "When I was in my sophomore year of college, there was a girl who came to campus to visit. And she was beautiful. And I made it my goal to get to know her, and I wanted to take her out the next day. She was there for the weekend. This girl was so beautiful that I forgot to study for a test that I had coming up that very evening. And I spent all my time with her," he says. "And to this day, Heather tells me I should have studied for the test. I went and took the test, and I failed. I got a 48%. I'm not sure how you get a 48% if you got your name right, but he got a 48%. So he started to panic about the class, and he figured out what he would need to get on the final exam in order to pass the class. He would need a 92%, a pretty tall order for somebody already dug so deep in a hole. He had two choices. He could study hard, press forward, forget that 48%, and take the final and hopefully pass, or he could just drop the class and quit and pick it up another time. He He said through his prayer, through his focus time, he decided he would press on. He pressed on. He forgot about the 48%. He forgot about the failure. And he worried about the future. Put his focus on taking that final exam. And he got a 96%. What's the point? The point is, failures in life are going to want to make us drop the class. Failures in life can make us want to throw the towel in and say, I'm done. I'm out. That's it for me. God says don't do that. When we sit around and dwell on our failures, we will never get anywhere. When we sit around and dwell on our failures, we will never be any helpful to anybody, ourselves, especially in the kingdom. This is hard, though, because we're human, and we suffer, and we face these things. If we do something and it turns out great, praise God for that. Thank God for that. If we try something and we blow it, learn from it and move on. There will be other opportunities. We never want to throw in the towel. Winston Churchill was asked to give the commencement address at Oxford University in the middle of World War II. Don't you figure Winston Churchill was pretty busy in the middle of World War II? Yeah, he was. But he agreed to go and give the commencement address anyway. And he walked up to the podium and he said, "Never give up." And he stood there for a minute and a half, silent. And then he looked at the microphone and he said, "Never give up." And he walked away from the podium and sat down. Now, if I'm a graduate at Oxford University and Winston Churchill's coming to speak at the commencement address and he does that, I'm going to be a little disappointed. How about you guys? Right? Very short message, though, but a profound message. And it's the same message God gives us in Scripture. Never give up. Your God will never give up on you. Amen? Your God will never leave you or forsake you. He always wants you, and he is far more concerned about what you're going to do in the future than he is about your past, because when you're a Christian, the past is forgiven. Amen? The past is gone. Your God does not hold that against you. He doesn't want us to hold that against ourselves as well. We're not called to forget the past, because we can learn from the past. But we can't dwell there. We got to look to the future. We got to serve God. So how do we make it in this world? We have to forget our failures because they're going to happen. And we have to follow our faith. Point number three. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, when you run a race, you always want to know where the finish line is, right? I've never wanted to run a race where I didn't know when it ended. I've never wanted to run a race, period. But I definitely don't want to run a race where I don't know where it is. Now, the path you have to take to get to the finishing line, that's not as important as knowing where it is. It's our reference point. And it's important to know the end goal, right? Apollo 13 had some major malfunctions. And the possibility of them making it home was very slim. Y'all remember this. And for 39 seconds, they had to conduct a burn. And they had no instruments to help them. Jim Lovell said he found his reference point. Through a tiny window, he could see the earth. And he never lost sight of it. He focused on his reference point. And guess what? They made it. What is our reference point? As we consider what it takes to make it as people of God in this very difficult world, what is our reference point? It's Jesus. Jesus is our reference point. We have to fix our eyes on him. He's our reference point. What happens, though, so many times is we take our eyes off of him, don't we? The world creeps in. Satan works on us. Pressures of this world in our careers or in school or in our families weigh on us, and we begin to take our eyes off of Jesus, and we focus on those things. Scripture talks about this. I want to read from Matthew 14, beginning at verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Peter was able to do something amazing, wasn't he? Peter was able to do something I've never done. I don't think any of you have ever done it either. Peter was able to walk on water. Think about that. He was able to do this because he focused on his reference point. His reference point allowed him to have the courage, the confidence he needed to get out of that boat. That first step would have been a big one, right? But it gave him the courage he needed, the confidence he needed to take that first step. And he focused on Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And this allowed him to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he looked at the wind, and fear began to set in, didn't it? And he began to sink. And we get there in our lives, don't we, church? We get there in our lives where fear sets in and we begin to sink. And maybe you're dealing with that this morning. God's got a message for you. He wants you to do the same thing Peter did. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. He said, "Lord, save me." If you've never become a Christian, come to him today. Let him save you. Be baptized into him. And leave that water brand new. If you are a Christian and maybe you've lost sight of your reference point, get back to Jesus. Come back to him. That is the only way we make it in this world as people of God. You know, when we keep our eyes focused on our faith, we'll finish this race the way God wants us to. Doesn't mean we have to be first to finish it, right? I'm thankful for that. I've never been first in any race in my life. He just wants us to finish it. And the end goal is a home in glory. Any other reference point will fail. You know, we get dragged into other reference points, right? We go through school and we get our reference point is getting that job, and then our reference point becomes pleasing that boss, and then our reference point becomes buying a house and buying a car and doing all these things the world tells us are important. These things are important, but they're not as important as following our faith. They're not as important as keeping Jesus as our reference point. That's the only way we'll ever make it as people of God in this world. To our graduates, congratulations on your accomplishments. It's a big deal. You know, in America, we lose sight of how big of a deal it is. But the education that you girls have received and that a lot of people here have received, that's a big deal. Most people in this world would love to have those opportunities. And we're very blessed here in America because it's just not that available other places. Thank God for the opportunities you've had to obtain your education. Resolve to do great things with this God-given gift. Be successful in this world. Be hard workers. But whatever you do, stay with God. Stay with Jesus. Keep him as your reference point in all things. Don't let the fears of this world drag you down. Face them and overcome them with God's Spirit. When you mess up, and you will, learn from it and move on. Do better next time. And as always, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. At the end of the day, that's all that will ever matter. That's how we make it in this world. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're living dangerously. You're living a life without hope. You're living a life without God. But the good news is God wants you. The creator of the universe, who can do all things and has done all things, wants you. And not just for a little while, but he wants you for eternity. That's a big deal. come to him. Confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent and be baptized, having your sins washed away, coming up with the Spirit of God in you. That Spirit that will help you overcome your fears, will help you as you go through your failures and learn from them. That Spirit of God that will help keep you centered and Christ-focused when this world throws its darts at you. There's no better life, church. Come to God. Come home to his peace. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, I want you to come now as we stand and sing.